something sacred about a family gathered in prayer. Not because the words are perfect or the setting is quiet, but because God shows up in the middle of ordinary moments. Around the dinner table, at the bedside of a worried child, in the soft whisper of a parent who doesn't know what tomorrow will bring, but still chooses to believe. Welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. Joining me is my co-host, Pam.
Hi, Tamara.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
We are talking about the power of a praying family.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer doesn't make life's challenges disappear. Instead, it gives us strength to endure them. It serves as the bond that keeps relationships strong even when life feels overwhelming. In a fast-paced world full of busy schedules, distractions, and stress, prayer helps us remember our identity and where we belong. A praying family isn't perfect, but returns to the altar time after time, knowing God understands beyond words. Such a family leans on grace, forgives quickly, and loves deeply. Scripture reminds us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is viewed as the chief exercise of faith, not to inform God, but to conform us to His will. Prayer is the means by which believers are drawn into fellowship with God, depending wholly on His sovereign grace rather than their own strength. A family that prays acknowledges its complete reliance on God's providence. So, as Pam and I begin this discussion, we invite you to get comfy, get your coffee, your pumpkin spice latte, your eggnog, or whatever your favorite drink, and join us as we explore this topic, the power of a praying family. We're here to talk about prayer.
So good to be here tomorrow.
How might our homes and our hearts begin to change if prayer became as natural and necessary to us as the daily conversations we have with each other?
I personally believe, Tamara, that prayer is one of the most powerful gifts that God has given to us. And when prayer becomes natural, God's presence is normal in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean, Tamara, that because we pray, problems and struggles will not occur.
Mm-hmm.
They will, but prayer gives us the strength to deal with them. A lot of times we think that prayer is just something that we do on a Sunday morning, but we live every day, Tamara, and every day we have trials, we have tribulations, we have joys, we have sorrows.
Yes.
And so prayer should be something that we do on a daily basis. The idea is for us to pray without ceasing, communing with God. And it doesn't have to be, like you mentioned in your introduction, a formal setting, so to speak. We don't have to plan for it in advance. We just need to talk with Him and commune with Him. God, thank you. God, help me. God, give me wisdom. Mm-hmm. As short as that, God wants us to communicate and to commune with Him on a daily basis. And when that happens, the atmosphere in our lives and our homes changes.
Yeah, when we think about it, Pam, it isn't just a Sunday ritual, is it?
No.
It's a daily routine. It's something that we live out as a part of our relationship with the Lord. He says to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be in constant communion with Him, our spirits communing with His spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a religious formality.
Mm-hmm.
but it's the overflow of a heart that has been transformed, right? It's the evidence that the Spirit is at work in our heart. And Pam, we get busy.
Sure.
We get busy, our schedules. Sometimes in the morning we get distracted. There's so much going on. And how do we kind of balance that? How do we stay in the spirit of prayer when life is hectic? Mm-hmm.
See, I look at prayer as intimacy. And for some of us, intimacy is not easy tomorrow. But I think it requires us to be intentional. I particularly like Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But I will start at verse 12, because I think it's very important. I sent a hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them, and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord, and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worship beyond Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the God your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to be intentional tomorrow. And I like this scripture because God is saying, all these things I did for you. Serve me. But if you choose not to, Joshua said, if you don't want to serve God, okay. But as for me and my house, it has to be intentional.
Yeah.
That we're going to decide that we are going to build an altar before God in our homes. And like I said, it's not so formal. You don't have to spend a whole day, an hour, 2 hours tarrying. It's a simple words that you can say, inviting God into your everyday lives and inviting him into your rhythm on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, when families pray, Pam, they exercise faith together.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging Christ as the Lord of the household. And it's very important because the home will serve as the first altar.
Mm-hmm.
The home serves as the first altar. So the family becomes the first, I would call it the first congregation, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. fulfilling that the priestly call of believers. Mm-hmm. Like 1 Peter 2:9 says, such worship trains with training the next generation. It trains heart to depend on God before seeking outward help.
You go to God
first. You go to God first. And when families pray, that faith builds not only within the older adults in the home, but also in the younger ones. They can see that we are depending on God mm-hmm. to order our day. Mm-hmm. We are inviting heaven into the order of our lives.
And that's what it is tomorrow. You are inviting his presence. You are saying, I didn't do this by myself. This was scripture said. You
yeah.
did not do this by yourself. So no. God, I'm inviting you and I'm asking you for help. And when we invite him, husbands, wives, children, yes, there are going to be disagreements. But when we invite him in the midst, we are saying to him, God, we need your help to get us through this.
Right.
And that's so important tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's not about perfection. You know, mm-hmm. I guess sometimes we're afraid of how we will sound in a group of people praying. Mm-hmm. You know, some families may not have that altar because the older ones may say, you know, I don't know how to pray, but it's not such thing as a perfect way to commune with your no. Savior. He wants you to talk to him from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about eloquence, but as you pray, God delights in the sincerity of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be polished. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes you compare yourself to the pastor, the intercessor, you know, she can pray, he can pray, but I can't pray. Just talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you would talk to a friend.
Yes.
He is our friend. He's our Savior. Mm-hmm. So he just wants you to pour out your hearts to him.
Look what the word says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let your request, whatever it is. See, you may have a close friend, but we don't tell our close friends everything.
No.
I can promise you, man, you can tell every and anything to God. You can have that intimacy with God where you tell him everything and you can ask for his help, and he is there and he will provide. And the altar to Mara is not brick and stone.
No.
It's just his presence.
His presence.
Us inviting him into our lives and into our homes.
And he's there, you know. Mm. It's allowing us to now see his presence or invoke his presence in our situation, whatever it may be. Mm. And Pam, when we think about our nation and the world, and we hear a lot of pastors and teachers and church leaders say that we need to return to the family altar. Mm-hmm. And I guess they look at the woes in society and we see some things happening that we're grieved with, and we're saying we need God. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to rebuild the family altar in today's world? And how can each member, no matter their age, help restore prayer as the center of family life?
For me, it's just simply making space for God in our lives. I remember Tamara a few years ago, midway in my Christian journey, I had heard, I don't know if it was a song that was sung or someone said it, but I'd heard every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I remember saying to God, I don't feel that way. I love God. Mm-hmm. I was saved. But I just felt that I was going through the mundane, you know, go to church, worship, you know, but it was just mundane. And I said to God, I don't feel like I'm excited in my walk with you. I was going through a drought, right? But I prayed. And I asked him, I said, God, I need to feel your presence. And he took me to his word, spend time in his word, and praying before him. And so when we talk about building that altar, it means for me inviting him into your space, your everyday life. You can't do this by yourself. You need him. And so you go to him and you ask for his help. And if you're in a situation where maybe everybody in your family don't see things your way, then you start. Don't force them. If they're adults, don't force them. You just go to God. And like his word said, bring everything to him.
Yes.
And ask him, tell him, God, I would like for my adult children to serve you and to worship you. I would like for my husband or my wife to serve you and to worship you. And it may not happen overnight, but I promise you it will if you go to him and you ask him to reach out and touch those in your lives who may have strayed away from God. But you have that altar in your homes for him. I remember when my mom, she would pray.
Yes.
She prayed by herself, but she prayed for her family. And she called out our names in prayer for God to move and to touch and to bless.
Yeah, my earliest recollection of the family altar was praying with my father, my stepmom, my stepsister. We would gather and we would pray together for many things. I mean, if there was a need, you know, my stepmom would write that down. We would have a fasting and prayer. I was about 11, 12 years old.
And incredible.
That was my understanding of you needed to connect with God for many things in life. And so as I grew up, even though I had challenges in my young adult years, adolescence and young adults, wayward and straying, I even prayed in those moments.
And God honored that.
He honored it. And when I had my own children, I always tell my children, y'all cut your teeth in prayer meeting, because I understood that I needed to commune with God. And there were sisters around me who knew how to touch heaven. And if I had a problem, I wanted them to connect with me on it, because for some reason, I believe God heard them more than me. So when we talk about returning to the family altar, it's symbolic of the Old Testament. When we think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when they would have, God would have done something great for them, or when they would have been in a situation where they acknowledged his presence, they would build an altar of brick or stones, and they would make a sacrifice or dedicate it to the Lord as a place of remembrance that God was here. He delivered, he provided, he met with me. And so we're not doing the physical building with stones, but our hearts.
Yes.
Our hearts, our bodies now become a living sacrifice unto God. And we are remembering that we are acknowledging the presence, the power, and the providence of God.
Living God.
Of the living God. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for families to consider, and anybody, anyone in the family can begin it. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to us today, and you're feeling the Holy Spirit tug you to do this, just begin praying where you are. Mm-hmm. Do it in the front room. Do it where the children, your dad, or whomever in the family, they can see you praying. Get your Bible. Pray through the Psalms. Begin there. You don't know what to say? Open the Bible to the book of Psalms. Begin praying the prayers that David prayed. Mm-hmm. We have Google. We have all these things. Research how Jesus prayed.
Johnson. And it doesn't have to be fancy tomorrow. No. It doesn't have to be fancy. No. Just a Lord, help me.
Help me.
God, give me wisdom in this moment. Maybe someone asked you to do something. Actually, I had someone who asked me to do something. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, why do you want to put me on the spot like this? And so I finally agreed to do it. Yeah. And I was praying about it. I said, God, if this is your will, I will do it. I prepared as if I were going to do it. And then they came back to me and they said, they have to push the date, but you'll be traveling, right? I said, yes, I'll be traveling. I said, but no worries. I believe everything happens as it should be.
Yes.
And so I wish you well with it. I didn't get frustrated that I spent time to prepare, but I wasn't able to do it. I asked God to direct me. And yes. I believe that I'm not doing it, because it was not in God's will and plan for me to do it. And I just accept it.
In everything by prayer.
So it doesn't matter what it is. Like I mentioned, there's some things that we find difficult to share with our friends or even our spouses.
Yes.
But you can share it with God. And I encourage parents, start young with your kids.
Yes.
Maybe you didn't come up in a family that prayed together. But if you love the Lord, then you start with those children. Get them in the mood of praying. During the summer, well, at the end of the summer, Bahamas Harvest, they had this back to school prayer. Mm-hmm. So I told my sister, I said, let's take my nephew to this. And so the three of us went and they were praying. And so we would touch him when they were praying. And so I got distracted. I should not have gotten distracted, but I got distracted with my cell phone.
Talk about distractions.
We talked about it earlier. And I was looking at something. And so when they were praying, I didn't touch him. So he touched me. Annie Pam, come touch me.
That's right.
And I touched him. I said, oh, sorry. And I touched him. And that was, I think it was like a Friday. So Monday, when he was headed out to school, he told his mom, pray for me. Touch me and pray for me before I leave. And every morning he makes sure his mom touches him and prays for him before he leaves.
So that is hard, with this being discipled in prayer.
Yes.
Just like that.
Yes. So you start young, and like you mentioned, you were introduced to prayer. And even though you stray, the Bible said, bring up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Yes, we may stray off, but we coming back. It was important for what you went through. And whatever situation we are in, We may be in the midst of something that we're not supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But if you remember God and say, God, I know what I'm doing isn't right, mm-hmm. but I need your help. He will.
The prodigal son.
Okay.
The prodigal son. Acknowledge where you are mm-hmm. and return.
Yes.
Acknowledge where you are and return.
And that's what prayer does. And I think if we have more of that in our families, tomorrow we will love deeply.
Yes.
We will forgive. Give easily.
Oh, yes.
And peace will abound. Not perfection. Not saying that we will not experience disappointment. Not saying that we will not have disagreement. Not saying that we probably even wouldn't row sometimes. But God will give us the strength
prayer,
to deal with these situations.
Prayer is an open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We know that prayer is vital for our relationship with the Lord mm-hmm. and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Why is praying and being united as a family such a powerful force against confusion mm-hmm. that often grips our homes, fear mm-hmm. in the midst of storms and trials, and division when we can't see eye to eye? And what's some of the practical steps we can take to protect that unity in the family through prayer?
Praying as a family brings this unity. It pulls us together and says, we are on the same team.
Yes.
We are not fighting against each other. Sometimes, because we are so familiar with each other, we take each other for granted.
Yes.
And we say and we do things that hurt. I know you. Mm-hmm. I know your weak spot. So in this moment, you made me so mad, I want to hurt you. So I'm going to say mm-hmm. something that I know will pierce you and will hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But when we have unity in prayer, we are saying that we are on the side of God, and I am not tomorrow going to do or say things that will hurt you, but I want mm-hmm. to encourage you
yes.
in this moment or this season, whatever you are going through. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn out something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be like the bishop and pray long.
Mm-hmm.
You just mm-hmm. need to say simple words mm-hmm. to God. Remember the thief on the cross?
Mm-hmm. Remember me when you get into the kingdom.
And what happened? What God said to him?
Today you will be
okay.
in paradise.
When it comes to God.
Yes.
You just need simple words.
Yes.
And he's looking at your heart. All of what that thief did up to that point, all he said was, remember me.
Oh, yes.
And God says, yeah, today.
He acknowledged that Jesus was who he said
yes.
he was. Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
and that's what it does. When we pray, we are acknowledging
yes.
that you are a God and probably the only one that can help me in this
yes.
situation. And God is impressed by that.
Yes.
He is impressed by that. And he heeds. Or he answers
yes.
our prayers.
He said, if anyone comes to me, they must believe that I mm-hmm. am, that I am God. Mm-hmm. And he is a rewarder of them that
diligently
seeks him.
Mm-hmm.
So we give God thanks for the opportunity to just remember that prayer is so vital for family unity. And when we talk about unity, we talk mm-hmm. about love. When we talk about disunity, we talk about the enemy being at work trying to destroy what God is trying
yes.
to do within your family.
Yes.
So if you see there's confusion, there's strife, and every evil work, that's the work of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And as praying people, we need to recognize it, and we need to invoke God's presence and protection over our homes so we can have that spirit of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, God is a God of reconciliation.
Yes. Yes.
If there's a problem in your home, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and you operate in love.
Even if you have to do it by yourself.
That's right.
You do it until he brings the others along with you.
And he will if you persist in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just pray it through.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sisters would say in my church, pray
yeah.
it through.
Mm-hmm.
So we must come into agreement in prayer. And when we come in an agreement with prayer as a family, we're not trying to persuade God,
no.
but to align the family's will with his divine decrees.
Mm-hmm. And let the words of, I'm sorry, forgive me.
Yes.
I love you. Let them come freely
Yes.
You may be, it may be difficult for you, but ask God to help you, because some people just need that. If you did something that you felt that you should not have done, just say, I'm sorry, forgive me, give me another chance at this. And he says, if you ask 70 times seven,
forgive.
It's very powerful, I think, in any type of relationship, because we are humans, Tamara. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that we're not supposed to do, but we ought to be quick to forgive and to ask for forgiveness.
Oh, yes. And when families pray through life storms, God not only delivers, but he deepens our faith.
Yeah.
And he refines our trust in his providential will. Mm-hmm. Man, it ain't easy.
Oh, the flesh is there. I know my sister one time, she said something that was not right. And so when she realized it was not right, I said, now go back and say I apologize. She said, no, I ain't doing that. They don't know. They don't know. It wasn't right. I said, no, you're wrong for that. Go back and say, I apologize and I'm sorry. So it's not easy. It's not easy. But with prayer and with God's help, we can get through it and we can learn to say, sorry, forgive me, and work through and pray through those situations.
Yeah. Prayer restores.
Yes.
You know, God responds in our cry for help, for restoration, reconciliation, and recovery.
Yes. Yes.
He responds.
Yes.
And so we want to admonish you, listeners, today, whatever the situation may be, talk to God about it. Mm-hmm. You may say, I'm so sinful. God ain't hear me. Will you go and confess your sins? Mm-hmm. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So confess to him, talk to him about it. Talk about your weaknesses. Let him know where you are and ask for his help, and then make your request known to him and watch him respond. Not in your timing, in his timing. Pam, can you pray for us as we close out?
Almost gracious and heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this sacred reminder that prayer is not just what we do. It's who we are when our hearts are turned towards you. Thank you for every home listening today, Father, for every representative of a family that you have knit together with love, even when life feels stretched or uncertain. Lord, teach us again how to make space for you in our homes. Restore the family altar. Let our dining tables, our car rides, our living rooms become holy ground where your presence dwells. And Father, draw husbands and wives closer through prayer, and let children feel safe under the covering of parents who call on your name. Most gracious and eternal Father, when we grow weary, remind us, Lord, that you still hear the quietest prayers. When words won't come, interpret our tears.
Yes.
When conflict rise, breathe peace, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Unite our hearts, O God, so that love, forgiveness, and faith become the language of our households. And Heavenly Father, may every family represented in our hearing become a light, a testimony that when we pray together, you move, you heal, you restore, and you make all things new.
Yes.
We seal this moment in the name which is above every name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our peace. Amen.
Amen.